you. So we left Kim's name on the presentation. She couldn't be here today, but for City of Lacey, she's the representative for all things water. She manages the stream team activities, and we are going to do this presentation again this Sunday for the full congregation, and Kim will be here then. So we just want to leave Kim's name up there, and she will be back with us this Sunday. So Wendy and I are going to talk to you about kind of the big picture water, kind of the types of water that we talk about in this community, and then as Margie said, we'll talk about some ways you interact with those systems and how you can help conserve water, save water, and also protect our water resources and why that's important. So we'll go ahead and get started with the questions. While I want you to hold your questions, I have questions for you, a little interactive. So true or false? The water you drink today is the same water the dinosaurs drank millions of years ago. So for these questions, I'm going to let you just shout it out. Does anyone have an idea of what's the answer?
True. Yes.
Yes? All right. It is true. Yeah. So the point that we want to really make here, I'm actually going to skip ahead a slide. The water resources on Earth are just really limited. We have lots of water. We're the blue planet, right? But so much of the water on Earth is tied up in the oceans. It's salt water. It's not drinkable water. Even some of our fresh drinkable water resources, those are tied up in ice and glaciers. So when we look at the ratio on Earth of available fresh drinking water, that percentage is pretty low, just 3.5% fresh water. And when you break that down even further, it's even more limited what we have. So I'll go back now. Why is it the same water that the dinosaurs drank? Those water resources never go away. They get used in the system, cleaned up, and then kind of sent back through the water cycle. So this may be taking you way back to grade school. Is this giving anyone flashbacks to their elementary science school or middle school science teacher? So the water cycle, the basics. I think that the takeaway here is the water cycle, it cycles. So the water might get rained down from a cloud, it might get used, maybe drank by a dinosaur, but ultimately it all comes back around. It doesn't go away, but we don't get more of it either. So that's kind of the idea we're really wanting to talk about today is there's only so much water. So we really want to do our best as we interact with water in our daily lives to keep it clean and not to waste any of it. So what does this look like today? So this is a graphic we had done we do a lot of education programs for students. At the Science Center, we bring in students and talk to them about these same concepts. So we had this drawing then of today's urban water cycle. So the ways that water moves through our built urban environments. And we'll dive into this a little bit more, but you can kind of see underneath that cityscape, there's different colors of pipes and water moving through these systems. So what I'm going to dive into right now is talking about three different types of water. And how we interact with them. The first one, we've already mentioned, is our drinking water. Drinking water is our clean water. It's traveling, we'll come back to that picture, but it's traveling in blue pipes. Perhaps it's been cleaned up, but our water here in Thurston County is very clean. Drinking water in general comes from two sources, either underground or above ground. So when we're drinking water, we're either drinking water that's pulled from a lake or a river as a resource, or for groundwater. So I'm leading into a question here, my next pop quiz. How much of Lacey's drinking water is coming from the ground? What do you guys think? I heard 100%. Any other?
50.
50? All right. All right, let's see what the answer is. So that first answer is right, 100%. So places like Seattle, they're pulling from lakes and rivers. But here in Thurston County, not just Lacey, but the whole county is drinking from the groundwater. We have these aquifers underneath ground that are holding this water for us, and we're pulling it up with pumps through well systems. So Lacey has a network of wells that provides our drinking water. There's one lake, Summit Lake, in Thurston County where they're drinking from the lake, but we're pretty lucky to have this protected groundwater resource. Our aquifers are very full. the world. We've heard a lot about drought lately. We're heading into this hot summer season again. Other aquifers, they're starting to be drained down. And sometimes if you're drinking surface water, there's a risk to that because you could have contamination reach that surface water more easily. Olympia's well was pulled from, it is groundwater, but it was coming up through a spring. And they actually did a big project last year to change that to a protected well system. So there was less possibility of contamination at the surface. So this kind of drills into that urban water cycle a little bit more to kind of show an aquifer doesn't actually look quite like that. This is a cartoon of it, essentially. But we basically have these, it's almost like an underground holding tank. And then well systems pulling the water up. Sometimes you need treatment plants to clean your groundwater. But again, here in Thurston County, our groundwater tests very clean. And so we do very limited treatment, and it's ready to drink. And then it rains, as it tends to do around here. So that's one of the reasons our aquifers have not been at risk of being drained, is the rain will infiltrate back through the soil and replenish those aquifers. That said, we'll keep seeing our population growing, is what we've been hearing. So a lot of times when we're teaching kids about water conservation at the Science Center, it'll be pouring rain, and they're kind of looking at us going, why should we care about saving water? Do we really need to be so concerned about this? This isn't the desert Southwest or these big cities in the South that you hear about running out of water. But not only will the population continue to grow and there continue to be more demand, but as we're going to get into here, there's a lot of process that it takes to clean up the water once we've used it. So the cost of that, the process steps that it takes, can be reflected back in people's water bills. So we kind of talk about saving water equals saving money. So that was our drinking water. I am going to turn the presentation over to Wendy. Both of us work for LOT, our Regional Wastewater Alliance. She's going to talk about the next type of water, wastewater, our favorite water to talk about, and give us a little bit more idea of what that means.
Hello, welcome. My name is Wendy. Okay, so after the drinking water, we, use drinking water, we drink it, we cook with it, we flush our toilets with it, but then after it leaves the system and goes down a drain, it becomes wastewater. So all of the water that leaves your home or from St. Mark becomes wastewater. And LOT treats that wastewater. So we treat all of the wastewater that comes to us in pipes, and LOT is an acronym. It stands for Lacey, Olympia, Tumwater, and Thurston County. And our mission is to preserve and protect public health and the environment by cleaning and restoring water resources for our communities. So we are the wastewater utility that serves you. We're governed by a board. There are four members of the board and one from each jurisdiction. And so Lacey's representative is Cynthia Pratt, so you know that. So we serve the urban growth area, so we have 120,000 people that we serve, but the total residential population is 170,000 approximately. Where do you think, what's happening to this sewage from the remaining 50,000 people? Guys, have any guess?
Septic systems.
That's right, septic. So we have a fair number of septics in the area.
We have our laser. I don't know. Can you guys see? We have some red dots there. We might need to make those bigger for next time. So okay, I'm just gonna run.
I'm gonna come around. So what I want you to know is, here is St. Mark. So you're looking at like Olympia and Lacey over here. Here is St. Mark. We have two treatment plants. Here is the Bud Inlet plant, right over there on Bud Inlet. That's where the majority of wastewater goes. But before it goes there, it gets all of the wastewater in Lacey gets pumped to the Martin Way pump station, and a portion, about 1.5 million gallons per day, gets treated at the Martin Way reclaimed water plant, and then the rest goes to Bud Inlet. So we have two systems, and Lacey, in fact, has two systems. But what we're going to do today is focus on Bud Inlet, because most of your wastewater comes from Bud Inlet. Or, excuse me, most of your wastewater goes to Bud Inlet. So here we have a picture of the Bud Inlet treatment plant, and you can see lots outfall to Puget Sound. Now this shows us how LOT cleans wastewater. Now this is a very busy slide again. I'm going to come around so I can point to things for you. Okay, so the first step when we're treating wastewater is to screen it, because there's a lot of debris in wastewater, right? There's flushable wipes that really aren't flushable, so there's wipes that get in your wastewater. There are sometimes sticks, diapers, toys. I mean, all kinds of things get flushed into the system, right? So we do, the first thing we do is we screen it. So that's called trash and grit removal. And then the next thing we do is we slow down the water and things settle. So material settles to the bottom, that's the sludge, and some things float. That's going to be your grease. So that's your second separation step, is just a slow settling. And then we use helpful bacteria. Those bacteria take the wastewater, and they basically use it, they eat it, and they make more bacteria bodies. And so we're converting the waste from organic matter into bacteria bodies. They're taking and breaking down all of that organic matter into simpler pieces. And then we settle again, and we remove the bacteria. So all of that, the stuff on the bottom that we've separated, all that organic material, that becomes sludge. That's sludge, and it gets digested here and here from the primary settling and from the secondary settling. So it gets digested, and what we get out of that digested material is something we call biosolids. That sludge is worked on by other bacteria and by heat for about a month. And so you basically inactivate the bacteria, right? So you're making almost a soil-like material. It's called biosolids, and it goes on farmland in eastern Washington. And then the other thing we get out of the process is energy. We actually capture methane, and we use that methane to provide electricity and heat to a portion of our buildings. And then finally, the water gets disinfected by ultraviolet light, and then the vast majority goes to Bud Inlet. About 12 million gallons a day. And then another portion goes to the reclaimed water plant, where it gets further cleaned and can be used for other uses.
Like what?
That's a question. We'll answer that one. Such as irrigating parks, and we flush toilets with it. We can talk about this more later, but that can become a whole tangent in itself.
It is used in our community in a variety of parks, particularly downtown, Heritage Park, Marathon Park, and then in Lacey, Wendy mentioned we have the secondary treatment plant. So have you guys seen it driving by? We're on Martin Way, past college before Carpenter, our pump stations on one side and then our reclaimed water plants on the other side. So the Bettis treatment plant was built in the 50s. The Martin Way reclaimed water plant is much newer, kind of a satellite plant, solely producing reclaimed water. That's used for a couple different things, but the new thing in Lacey is to enhance stream flows at Woodland Creek. So Woodland Creek was running dry in the summer, which was really tough for the fish populations and other wildlife. So we're providing a substantial amount of that water to back to Lacey to enhance that stream and protect it in these hot summer months we're having. So this is a really complicated process. I think that's really what we want to say. So our drinking water, it's very clean. We don't have to do much treatment. However, once people have used that drinking water, sent it down the drain, it's a very complex process to get it clean. This takes an incredible amount of energy. Our power bills for PSC are huge. And so Lott is really invested in talking about water conservation. Any water we can prevent from coming down the drain is water that doesn't have to go through this treatment process. And then we also just would invite you, if you're interested in learning more, it's pretty fascinating to see the water move through the plant and get clean. We offer public tours of the plant every couple months on Saturdays. So we put our Wet Science Center schedule over on the table. We've got a tour coming up June 25th. It starts at 1 o'clock. It usually takes a couple hours to make our way through the plant as we follow the water. So if you're interested and you haven't seen the treatment plant in action, we just want to make that invite to come join us. If you can't make the June one, we'll do it again in another couple months, or we can always schedule groups to come visit us for a tour. So that was drinking water, wastewater. The third thing we want to talk about in the urban environment is stormwater. So as we've talked about, it rains a lot around here, right? So that's great. It replenishes our aquifers. It keeps our evergreen state green. But with rain can come some issues and some ways we can all help protect our water resources again. So these two pictures, what's the difference here? What's the change? What's the before and after? What changed from the first picture on the left to the after picture? Do you see something different?
The trees are gone.
The trees are gone. What's in the place of the trees?
Asphalt.
It's kind of small, I know. So we've built things. There's a little car there. There's a house. And what that really means is we've taken away what we call permeable surfaces, soils, where the water can trickle down and replenish our aquifers. And we've paved it. We've created impermeable surfaces. Now, we know here at St. Mark, you put in a permeable parking lot, which is great. That means instead of paving the whole parking lot and creating space that the rain can't come back through the soils and infiltrate, you've created a way to park and let the rain come through. So that's one of the ways we're affecting the environment. We can make these choices to help the stormwater be able to move in the way that we need it to. So the other thing, when you take those trees away, you're creating more runoff. So we've all seen what happens to slopes where the trees have been cut down and the rain hits it. The water just shoots off the slope instead of being absorbed into the tree roots. So one of the big differences in this built urban environment is also that there's more water moving off the land. And we're all so lucky to live so close to Puget Sound and our local waterways here. But our stormwater now moves pretty quickly straight to Puget Sound. So it rains, and instead of hitting the ground or a tree, it's hitting things like our roofs, our driveways, our streets. And it's so easy for stormwater to pick up any pollutants that are in its pathway. So a couple things you can think about at home, talk to your neighbors about perhaps, are the things that the rain picks up. So what are we using to fertilize our lawns? Are we using too much of it? Can we use natural fertilizers? Can we use natural pesticides, herbicides in our gardens, on our lawns? How many of us have pets? Now, this is one of our favorite pictures. I don't know if you can see it. How many of our dogs help us out with picking up their poop, right? Not any I've ever met. An incredible amount of germs, fecal coliform, comes in every pile that our dogs leave behind. So we really ask people to be responsible pet owners. We give away free rolls of doggy bags at the Wet Science Center for this reason, this stormwater runoff reason. We're starting to see more and more stormwater retention ponds or treatment ponds around the community, especially with our new development. What that does is holds the water and kind of settles out some of that stuff. But the majority of our stormwater, it hits these impermeable surfaces and goes straight out to Puget Sound. No treatment whatsoever. So where we've treated drinking water, we've treated wastewater, there's no treatment for stormwater. So whatever it picks up, it's taking with it in its part of the water cycle. Sorry, the last one here, it's showing our driveway. So if you're driving a car that maybe develops an oil leak, and that leak is hitting a permeable, impermeable surface, that'll get picked up too. We actually recommend that people go to commercial car washes instead of washing cars at home, because those commercial car washes are treating the water that comes out of the wash process and cleaning it up. If you do like to wash your car at home, we recommend doing it on a lawn or some other surface. Soil itself provides some level of treatment. So versus being on pavement and having that water go straight to a storm drain, that does help protect it. When we were showing the map of where our facilities are for wastewater treatment, the storm drains in downtown Olympia are old enough that they are tied into the wastewater system. So we do get some stormwater in the community goes through the lot treatment, but that's a very small proportion. So back to our big map. So we've talked about these three different types of water, how we use them, how that water comes in and out of our lives. So I'm going to come around as well and kind of point out a few of these pipes in more detail. So we said the blue pipes, drinking water. So we have these aquifers underground. We're pulling up water. Maybe we're storing it in a water tower. We see a lot of those in our community. And then it's getting piped to our houses and businesses and all of our commercial places we're using water. If you're out in a more rural area or a community that has community septic and wells, maybe you have a well in your backyard or through your neighborhood. And then the green pipes are the storm water that we just talked about. So some of them are going to be tied into the treatment plant, which is this building right here. But, oh, I'm sorry, I said the wrong one. Black one is stormwater. I apologize. So some of them are going to come right off the streets and go straight out maybe to Woodland Creek or whatever your nearest water body is. A few of them might be tied into the system, but green is for the wastewater. So coming out of all of these buildings, coming through the lot plant, and then purple is the color for reclaimed water. So if you're out in our community parks and you see purple pipes, pumps, grating, it's a good sign that reclaimed water is being used in place of drinking water. So again, we're just sort of thinking about what did the system look like before all this infrastructure was built, and now look at all of this system we built. You may have noticed the streets torn up recently around here for sewer repair. We just drove down and it said sewer repair on College. So both the city of Lacey, all the cities, and then Lot own miles and miles of pipeline and various pump stations. There's a lot of infrastructure built into maintaining all of these water systems. So, that said, how can you help save water? Both when you're at your home or if you're here at the church, and we're going to go through a couple different scenarios, our outdoor use and indoor use that comes into play here at the church as well. And then in terms of wastewater, how many of you are on sewer? Do we know? Is anyone on septic who's in the room? Okay, so we've got a good mix of both. So septic is essentially a small wastewater treatment plant in your yard or your neighborhood. The difference being that the upkeep and the care is on the responsibility of the homeowner rather than a regional system. So we're going to talk about some of the programs that both Lott and Lacey provide to help you save water. and there's some rebates available whether you're on sewer or septic. But first, a quiz. So we're going to talk about outdoor water use first. So you can read that, but how much water is our lazy customers using on average winter day? High or low number there? What do you guys think?
1 million.
1 million? All right, let's find out. 5 million. Okay, so that's a winter day. And think about what's the difference between summer and winter water use? Because your next question is how much water are we using on a summer day? What do you think? Right here.
C.
17.2? Let's take a look. So not quite as high, which is good, but definitely significantly higher than our winter use. What's the difference? What are we doing in the summer that we don't do in the winter?
We're watering,
right? We get all that lovely rain in the winter. We don't have to worry about our watering. And then it gets to summer. And like right now, we're starting to see, we enter these dry summer conditions. We want to keep our lawns and potted plants and gardens well watered. So pretty significant difference from summer to winter. And so for Lacey, to help with water conservation and to manage the water resources we have, you're probably already aware that there's a specific schedule. So addresses and even numbers have certain days they can water. Addresses and odd numbers have the other days, and no one gets to water on Friday. That was implemented, gosh, I want to say a couple of years back. In 2006, the peak water use days, we were using 17 million gallons, so even more than we just showed in that quiz. Now, by 2015, our peak on July 4th, everyone's got the holiday, they're home taking care of their gardens, we're down to 14.5 million gallons. So this implementation of this back and forth water system has really helped the community of Lake City to conserve our drinking water resources. And also for Lacey was at a point where they were going to have to increase the resources they had to meet the demand. Every city that provides water has to meet the demand that it has, and they have to try to get ahead of that and predict what's the peak demand, what's the highest level of water we have to provide. They were at a point where they were asking themselves at the city, do we have to build more of that infrastructure to provide water to all our customers, or can we as a community come together and do some serious water savings and delay having to build out those facilities, which again, those costs always come back to you, the citizens, the ratepayers. And so this has been a pretty successful implementation over the last several years. So let's talk about using water outdoors. So this is a picture of something we don't want you to do. So what's wrong here? How could you save water? What would you change about this picture? Any ideas?
Put an awesome on the hose.
Thank you. So right there, if you don't have a spray nozzle, something that you can turn on and off with your hand, you could, let me get my statistic here, you could waste 10 gallons a minute. That's a lot of gallons. Now, Kim helpfully wrote in what that means in terms of your water bill. So that could cost you up to $6 a minute because we're charging by use for drinking water. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Okay, what's wrong with this picture? I don't know if you can see the detail.
Water the sidewalk in the driveway.
Yes. Do we need to water our sidewalks? No. Go ahead.
And you're watering during sunlight, which is causing more evaporation.
And this could be a Friday.
Friday.
Right. So what time of day are you watering, and are you targeting your watering? So you guys are absolutely right. That is one wet driveway. You're also creating essentially stormwater runoff. It's not stormwater, but what are you picking up on that driveway and sending to the storm drain? So Lacey has incentives and rebates to help all of us to, if we're not already doing those best practices, to think about our outdoor water use and do some conservation. So you can go to your Lacey, to the City Hall for Lacey and pick up free outdoor kits. They include a spray nozzle. The middle item, the red item there, is a timer for a sprinkler. So if you're watering your lawn, it'll automatically shut it off or do it as you so helpfully pointed out, at the right time of day. If we're watering at the peak heat of the day, we're losing a lot of water to evaporation in that water cycle picture. So we want to water early or late when it's going to stay, the water's going to stay where we want it to. And then the last item, the green one, is a soil moisture sensor. So a lot of times we're watering when we don't really need to be. Maybe the very top layer of our garden soil is dry, but if we have a sensor, we push, dig in a little bit, there's actually a fair amount of moisture being held in the soil. So every year, Lacey puts out a water quality report. It reports out for you, testing on the drinking water, kind of how clean is it, what's going on in terms of the drinking water supplies. And they also, at that time, have additional outdoor water savings items that you can go pick up. There's some limited quantities of extras there. So look for that. It'll come out towards the end of June. And then also, there's our individual home use, but sometimes we live in a larger homeowners association community or have commercial irrigation systems at businesses or institutions. And so Lacey also provides a rebate for upgrades to irrigation systems if they conserve water. So it's something to look into if you're part of a homeowner association or involved with a larger irrigation system. And if you're interested in that, Kim's cards are here today, and I'd say to pick up a card for Kim and talk to her more about that program. So, that was outdoor. Indoor water use. What's wrong with this picture? So how can we save water when we're indoors and using water? What's wrong here?
We have the water when they don't need it.
Exactly. So, for the wastewater end of things, what you're doing is just sending drinking water into the system. It's mixing with all the dirty water from toilets and washing machines and whatnot, and it's just more to treat. And you're wasting our drinking water resources, which also equal energy use and cost to you paying the water bill. So this is sort of one of the main things we talk to kids about, especially, to turn off the water while you brush, and that can be true in the shower as well. I think most of you saw we put 5-minute shower timers on the counter for you. So if you have a water waster in the house who takes a long shower, you can take the 5-minute timer home and see if they can meet the challenge of a 5-minute shower. It's tough, but maybe they're at 20 minutes and they can bring their time down to 10. Every minute counts. Okay, what's wrong with this picture? And how could you save water? I couldn't find the picture I really wanted, which was a not fully loaded dishwasher, so I found this one with the dog instead. So the answer is not to have your dog lick your dishes clean instead of running them through the dishwasher. But what I really wanted to show here was to make sure that you're running full loads in the dishwasher, in the washing machine. We're lucky today, a lot of our appliances are a lot smarter than they used to be, or than us. So they can, a lot of the new washing machines sense the size of your load, and a lot of dishwashers have settings to do, okay, a half rack or something like that. But as smart as our appliances have become, we still need to make good choices when we're using them. So this one's all about filling the load and maybe watching what the dog's doing too. Mm-hmm. So here in Lacey, one of the other ways, this kind of goes back to outdoor conservation, but one of the ways Lacey's incentivizing thinking about water conservation is that they put in a tiered water rate system. So our drinking water is metered as it enters our house, and so Lacey's tracking how much each household is using, and your rates are based on your use. And that includes when the faucet's just running while we're brushing our teeth, right? So tier one is kind of tiered for the average home, your average indoor use. But as this is a good time for us to be doing these presentations because we're entering the summer months, we're looking at 80-degree days in our gardens, and we're going to start using more water outdoors. So tier two is maybe more likely where you're at if you're using water outdoors. Basically, the rate structure is set this way to encourage folks to think about that outdoor water use in the summer. And it goes back to those tips we were saying. Can you water at a certain time of the day so the evaporation won't take the water away? Can you not water your driveway, but focus on your gardens, those types of things. So it incentivizes the idea that we should be all thinking about our water use. And if you're looking at your water bill, you want more detail or you want assistance, kind of figure out how you could better for your situation, your home, dial that in. Again, I'd say Kim's a great resource. So, and then on the wastewater end of things, I'm going to turn it back over to Wendy. We have some incentives both for folks on septic and sewer. So she's going to talk about the rebates we have for sewer customers.
All right. So as Kelsey mentioned, we want to conserve water when it's coming into your home, right? And that's what, or St. Mark, to save on our drinking water, you know, keeping it clean and making sure that we're preserving the aquifer. So then we also want to conserve it on the way out. And part of that is, obviously, there's a connection between drinking water and wastewater, you know, so it's going to help save that potable drinking water resource. But it's also going to help save on capacity, because the more wastewater we put into the system, the more we have to build our treatment systems to really handle the capacity of wastewater that comes through. So this often gets at capacity. So our regional program is going to be lot specific. This is going to be focused on people who have sewer, and the local programs are going to be Lacey specific. They're for the folks who have septic systems. So at lot, we have a number of residential rebates. We have rebates for a high efficiency toilet and rebates for efficient washing machines. And so these are basically technologies that are going to use less water. And I know that when high-efficiency toilets first came on the market, when there was like low-flush toilets, people said, well, they're not working very well. I have to flush my toilet two or three times to make it work. That has really been remedied. They have a new testing system now where they're actually rated. It's called the MAP system, and they use basically fake poo to make sure that the system has a good flush. And so if you have an older toilet, 1.6 gallons or higher, you can go on to the lot website, and there are rebates available for higher efficiency toilets. Because what we want you to do is replace your high efficiency toilet with a 1.2 to 1.6 gallon per flush toilet. And there are rebates to get those. And so you just go onto the website and check that out. Same with your washing machine. If you have something that is using a lot of water, go ahead and check out the website, and we can give you a $50 rebate if you get one of the washing machines that is prescribed. We also have indoor water saving kits, and these include, and these are free to lot customers, and I believe you get these through
the City Hall. Yeah. There's a flyer about it on the table as well.
Yeah, so you get these at the City Hall. It includes one low-flow shower head, one kitchen aerator, one bathroom aerator, and two toilet leak detection tests. So that's on the residential side. So there's also the same kind of deal for commercial and institutional rebates, the high-efficiency toilet, and there is something called Water Smart. And Water Smart is basically designed for kind of unusual circumstances that you're not going to see in a residence. For a recent example, we're just looking at decreasing the capacity, right, that's coming through our wastewater system. At Evergreen State College, they had a commercial dishwasher, and they received
25% off their commercial dishwasher, which was $15,000 of the project cost, to save an estimated 752 gallons per day. That's a lot of water coming, not only taking it out of our drinking water system, but needing to build capacity right at the back end for wastewater. So that was a water smart program that we were able to do for an institution. And so if you see something like a dishwasher or an ice machine or something, an institutional water guzzler, you might think about that, and you can call us up and we can see if there's a kind of a water smart way to help out. So now we're going to go back to the Lacey programs. And the Lacey program it's really for people who are on septic, and in many ways it mirrors what LOT is offering, right? So there are free water wasting toilet replacements. So the Lacey provides a free high-efficiency toilet to replace the older ones that use 3 or more gallons per flush, and a $50 rebate for Energy Star washing machines.
So, and Kim gave me this note, so Lacey gave out almost over 80 toilets last year, and that saved 1.4 million gallons of water. So you kind of think, how much water is a toilet really using? It's actually the appliance, essentially, using the most water in our homes. We flush 3 to 5 times a day per person. So that savings, bringing the water down by half per flush, can really add up. And we did a toilet inventory with Margie here at the church. We looked at every single toilet, and we've got some ideas. She'll talk a little bit about that, but we can certainly upgrade some of the toilets here at the church. We think some of them maybe have been here since the beginning, right? So, go ahead.
Well, and then Lacey also has the free indoor water saving kit with the one low flow shower head, the kitchen and bathroom aerator, and the 2 toilet leak detection tablets. So you can get those also at Lacey City Hall. So regardless of whether you're on sewer or septic, you can get that. Every drop does count. We hope that this has given you a good overview of your water system and of kind of potential ways to help conserve water. If you have questions, your Lacey contact is Kim, and your LOT contact is Kelsey. Thank you so much, and now we're going to turn it over to Marty.
Can we do questions first for Wendy?
Sure,
And Kelsey?
I want to make sure we have enough time for Marty, but yeah, please. Any questions that we didn't cover? Anything on your notepads? Go ahead.
Just a clarification.
Yeah.
Which agency does the water wasting toilet replacement for septic?
Thank you. So for if you're on septic and you're interested in replacing toilets, that's going to go through Lacey. And the program is different. For septic customers, they offer a toilet. So instead of going to the store and selecting something, they have a couple of different models you can choose from. The qualification there is that you need to be replacing a 3-gallon flush. So it is those higher gallon per flush older models. And they have lots of great information on the Lacey website about that. Go ahead.
Can you, if you live on a lake, can you water your lawn with lake water?
That is a good question. I don't know if I know the answer. Most likely, I'm guessing the answer is no. But it's worth either posing that question to Kim, or I don't know if you have a homeowners association on the lake. Sometimes you can pull irrigation resources from a local waterway, but a lot of times there are restrictions on that. And I have Kim's cards are on the table too with her email as well. Other, yes?
Beth. I had to figure out how I'm going to phrase this without it sounding really crazy.
We're ready.
You strongly suggest picking up dog poop.
Thank you. Yes.
Putting it in plastic bags.
Yes.
And then put it into the garbage.
Yes.
Right? And then the garbage goes to a landfill.
Right.
In the plastic bag.
Right.
That over a long period of time, it eventually disintegrates, okay?
I think I know where your question's going.
Mine gets even bigger. Horses.
Ah.
okay? We keep a manure pile that we add to every day. Recycle as much as we can for gardening use, because if you're not using non-organic dewormers and other things on your horse, there's going to be nothing really in that other than the normal bacteria.
Yes.
But all of it isn't used, so it does sit there, rain falls on it, and it permeates back or percolates back into the ground. So, to me, it's more negative to gather up dog poop, put it in a plastic bag, put it in the garbage, it's hauled off, and disintegrates over a very, very slow period instead of letting it disintegrate back into the soil on your own property.
Right.
If you're out walking your dog in public, I fully support that, okay? But so
what's the difference? So, and the question is sometimes phrased as, why can't we compost our dog poop?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just why?
If
why
giving your dog any, you know, bad chemicals? Okay.
So that is part of it. So what are we feeding our dogs? What kind of medicines might they be taking versus what's a horse's diet? Usually it's just straight grass or, you know, some other feed that's...
Well, we deworm them all the time.
Right, so they are getting some medicines.
Right.
So dog poop in particular, the fecal coliform counts are huge. And so part of that does go back to the diet. We are feeding dogs processed dog food with a lot of stuff in it, oftentimes in the medicines. People ask, can I compost it? The answer is it's very difficult to compost it to a level that's safe to get all those germs out of there. And so the right answer for dog poop is to send it to the landfill because of how much is in there. The other piece of that is the amount of dogs we have and how close we live to waterways here in the Puget Sound region. We are one of the highest levels of dog ownership in the country when they've surveyed for that, and we, for the most part, all live really close to our waterway, so it becomes more critical here with the amount of rain that we have coming down, how many dogs we have, and how close we all are to that stormwater outfall. For horses, we tend to reuse that poo, that fertilizer, because it does have less stuff in it, volume-wise, in terms of what's coming out. It is a different type of poo, is my answer for you.
Could she put the horse poo on a tarp?
You could. No one's asked me that specific question about, is there danger in terms of stormwater hitting piles of horse manure? So I don't know if it poses more like a threat.
From previous work, I would say if you have a manure pile, you want to treat it. It's an organic fertilizer. Any organic fertilizer, you would make sure that rainwater wasn't necessarily hitting it and going to a water body or a storm.
Right,
drain.
But if it drips through,
I think that's probably all right. You would have to see. There are source control people who come and inspect different things and give you suggestions on how to make it better. I think that as long as you make sure that the runoff isn't going directly
right.
to a stream,
right.
a lake, or a storm drain, that you're most of the way there. You might be all the way there.
Our dogs are more like us in terms of diet and what's coming out and the volume, so we get much more concerned about the dogs. So I saw one more question up front, and I want to turn this over to Margie so she has time. Yes.
When the Washington Water Company, do they have a rebate program?
So for Lacey, there are folks, especially on the outer edges, beyond the urban growth area, that the water is not provided by City of Lacey. It's provided by private companies. I don't believe that they have the rebate programs that Lacey or Lot do. But I just tell people it's always worth asking your utilities if they have rebates. PSC, our energy company, has a whole bunch of rebates. They have a matching one for washing machines, and you qualify for both. I don't think that the local private water companies do, but it's worth asking. And also, the more, even if they don't, the more people that ask, the more likely they are to consider something like that. All right, so let's turn this over to Margie. She's got some fun information about the church, which has an interesting, I didn't mention it yet, but an interesting double source of water. Right? You said that more clearly than I did. Okay.
Margie, go to the microphone if you can, please.
Okay, can everybody hear me? Okay, does everyone have the hand up from the table? You know, we've had wonderful information from our speakers on the big picture. Lacey, Lott, the county, our urban environment. Lots of information about our homes, but I'm sure at this point many of you are wondering about where does St. Mark fit into all of this. The graph that's at the first item in your handout, this is the total gallons that this facility has consumed over the past 2.5 years, and KIC is now tracking this. And I asked Pastor Eric one day his best estimate of when Clean Kids comes online, how many additional gallons per month. And, you know, we won't know until Clean Kids is actually up and running, but best guesses at this point are between 18 and 20,000 additional gallons a month. So when you factor that into this, once Clean Kids is online, we are on track as a facility to consume 500,000 gallons of water a year. Does that number make anybody stop and pause? It sure made me stop and pause. The other piece of the water infrastructure is the stormwater, and that's the second sheet. Stormwater is a fixed line item on your bill. When you look at your monthly bill, it's going to be the same amount for the 12 months of that year. But the rate is set by the city of Lacey. And as you can see by that last column over to the far right, we've had a 9% increase 3 years in a row. So going forward, we need to look seriously at how can we better manage our stormwater runoff system to possibly lower this line item cost, because this is the single most expensive line item on the bill, which coincidentally is the next sheet in your handout here. What makes the bill for St. Mark unique is we have two water meters. We have one for the facility itself, and then a second meter that is exclusively for the community garden. So what that means is we have two very different accounts, and they're on different tiers of that nice tier slide that was shown. So because they're on different tiers, there's different costs associated with them. Also, the garden does not have a sewer cost associated with it, which means trying to look at this bill and figure out what is happening is a bit of a challenge. I have, if anybody is interested, I have a little sheet that I printed off from the City of Lacey website that explains in more detail what the different codes are. So if you're looking on the left side, each line item is preceded by a code like WW, WR, SW, IR, etc. And some of these lines appear to be duplicates, but they really aren't. It goes back again to the fact that we've got two water meters. In essence, two different water infrastructures in the facility itself. And I'm happy to answer any and all questions about the bill or the consumption figures, and this is something that KIC is going to be tracking as we move forward. And since we created the little graph, it's now in its third or fourth iteration, but every now and then a little blip pops up. And because we're now tracking it, we also have been asking questions about what could account for the blips. Usually it's something like a running toilet or a running faucet that wasn't caught until days later.
Or a leak,
yes. So the fact that we're closely tracking overall gallon consumption, you know, when there's something that appears to be a little bit off, we try and get on top of it right away and get it resolved. Okay, now we have a complicated water infrastructure. So I'm going to put this in the form of a quiz. This is the last sheet. And we'll go through these. And teams are encouraged in answering some of these questions. And we have prizes as well on some of the bonus questions. So let's start with the basics. And let's start with the most basic question of all. At your home, there's an incoming water line. How many incoming water lines do we have at St. Mark?
Margaret, do you want people to write on their paper, or are we...
Just speak up and join the fun. So, Doug?
There's at least two, because there's one for the garden and one for the building.
Yes.
That's it?
So that's the answer. The correct answer is we have two separate incoming water lines.
So, and we brought some reusable water tumblers for the person who shouts out the right answer, which is going to be very nice.
So, the bone, and I believe you named the locations as well, Doc. You know, one is coming in from College Street. And that's the water line that supplies the sinks, the toilets, everything inside. And then the second water line is coming into the back and supplying the garden. Okay, number three. This is a fun one. How many hot water heaters?
Three.
Beth, you're waving your hand.
Four. Five.
Ah, I thought the answer was four. Do you know one that I don't know?
I had inside information.
We heard four. Who shouted out four?
Well, I cheated though because I already knew.
Okay.
No,
how about you for a really great try?
Yeah. For me, close.
Okay, now here's the bonus one. Name their locations.
Ooh.
Four hot water heaters. Where are they located?
Sacristy.
Sacristy is one.
Attic.
What?
Attic.
Attic in the end building. That's two.
Kitchen.
Be a little bit more specific.
Underneath the sink in the kitchen?
Yeah. Yes.
Three.
Inside a cupboard. That's three.
The custodian's closet.
And the custodian's closet is four.
And the janitor's closet is four.
So our team winners.
Karen.
Okay, now as we're moving along, the questions are getting more challenging as we go. We're now up to question five. How many water appliances are there? And for the purposes of the quiz, an appliance is something that does something with water, but it has its own dedicated incoming water supply line.
Does that include water heaters?
I'm sorry, what?
Does that include water heaters?
It would include water heaters, yes.
Includes toilets?
Not toilets.
Not toilets.
So the dishwasher,
coffee maker, two
dishwashers,
the sanitizer. A lot of water fountains.
Okay, does anyone have a number yet?
We're still working on it back here.
Nine?
We say seven.
Seven. Counting as a go.
Ten. Just because.
11.
7, 9, 10, 11, all incorrect.
Is there more than that?
Probably more.
There are 12.
Oh, I was close.
I didn't work.
Well, we figured that. One coffee maker. Our commercial grade coffee maker has its own supply line. The dishwasher, the dish sanitizer. There's an ice maker in one of the refrigerators. Three drinking fountains.
Where's the third one? Two here.
Seriously,
where's the third one?
I think it's in the
end
way.
No.
There is three. I have counted.
Oh, there's okay. Two over there.
Two over here. Huh?
Yeah. Yes. There's two in the hallway.
Yeah, right. And one here.
And one there. Okay. Three drinking fountains. What's the last guy on the list? There's one guy.
What's the question?
The answer is the fire hydrant.
That elusive number 12.
Fire hydrant.
But think about it for a moment. It has its own dedicated water supply line used for a specific purpose, so it fits the definition of a water appliance. All right. Are these challenging? I can see wheels turning, which is a good thing. Now, I'm going to make a distinction on the next few questions between a sink and a faucet. Because sometimes we have a faucet with no sink, or you have a sink with no faucet. So, starting with the sinks. Any guesses as to how many sinks we have in the facility?
10, 12.
Keep going.
15.
Keep going.
20.
Okay, that's a little over the mark.
17.
19.
Now, Betty?
Betty was closest.
Go, Betty. I wasn't good. She said 17, but I got
one. So we have 19 sinks.
Thank you very much.
Anyone want to take a crack at how many faucets?
Is anybody keeping track of the team points here?
How many cats? So there's the
one less.
Are you talking about indoor or outdoor faucet?
Custodian sink?
Both.
Oh.
Well, so you could have an outdoor faucet.
And what's the joke? And the faucets are more concerned because those have to be monitored for leaks or breaks on an ongoing basis.
Do
those
water,
are potential water emergencies.
Yeah.
Spigots?
Yeah.
Water
spigots.
Those kind of faucets?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we have like spigots outside for hoses, right?
Mm-hmm.
24.
32.
All right, I'll say this much. 24 is too low, 32 is too high.
30. 28. Bingo. No.
No, we haven't hit the magic.
29. 31. 27.
Yay, 31
again.
But whoever said 28, there's a little asterisk because one has been capped off and decommissioned.
Oh, nice.
And I just
said reconsideration. Yes, you did.
We're sort of closing in here. Thinking about sinks, it turns out that they break down into different broad categories.
Yeah.
Yes.
I say four.
You have the kitchen.
Oh, no.
The bathroom sink or whatever.
The deep sink. That's called a mop sink.
Okay, let's start with how many categories, right?
Yeah, 4, 5, 7, 2, 3.
Who said 3?
Betty?
Betty. Yes. Betty. Okay,
right.
Yes. Okay, so anyone want to start with listing the categories and then we figure out how many there are in each category?
Is there three? Is there three categories?
Three categories.
Kitchen,
mop,
utility.
Oh, mop, utility. Mop, utility. Yes,
okay.
That's one category.
Okay.
Bathroom sink.
Those would fall under the category of normal.
Cass, sacristy.
Normal.
Sacristy sink.
Okay, the sacristy sink is an example of the third type.
Special. Designated sinks.
Special.
Sacred.
Well, no, the answer is sacred. A sink that is not hooked up to a sewer line.
Right, because it goes in back into the earth, right?
So our first category are normal, yeah, what we think of as sinks when we think of a sink and it's hooked up to sewer. The second category is utility sinks, again, hooked up to sewer. And the third category is sinks that are not hooked up to sewer.
And how many do we have of those in St. Mark?
Not hooked to sewer?
Yes.
We have two.
What was the second?
The second, I'm sorry, what?
The second
category is utility sinks. Custodian sinks, utilitarian sinks, housekeeping sinks. Runs under different labels. Okay, now, we know that there's 19 of these running around. Any guesses about, okay, I've already indicated that there are two sinks in the category of not hooked to sewer.
And so, where are they located?
Sacristy.
Oh, yes.
Garden and sacristy.
Garden and sacristy.
You get
yes.
A bonus point, Vicki.
Yeah.
Okay, two utility sinks.
Yep.
Any guesses as to where they're located?
One in the Ed Wing, in the custodian's.
Well, you were on the investigation team.
Doesn't say that you have to be on the investigation team. Yeah, I put in my hours to start the location. So I'm starting to look closer to that weird type of thing.
Okay, okay. Getting a little bit out of hand, I'm getting the feeling that.
That's your own committee getting out of hand.
Still on, where are the two utility sinks?
Oh, the Ed building and here in the hallway. Both custodian rooms.
Yeah. Yes. Both of them are in a custodian closet.
Here it is.
And in fact, one of them is on the floor.
It's called a mop sink.
Yes.
And we have to repair that area.
Yes. That has, it has an issue, yes. Which is why we've been going, Kik has been spending this time putting together the inventory so we can identify where the issues are that, and then start the job of resolving the issues. Okay, and then that, by process of elimination, leaves us with 14 normal sinks. And I won't keep everybody here until the sun goes down trying to figure out where 14 of those sinks are. We'll just sort of let it go at that. Now, total up your scores. And be honest when you're totaling up the points.
Like, who won the team thing?
Three.
We won the team thing.
We get the booby trap. What'd you get, Vicki?
Obviously, I got the one.
It wasn't bright, but it was close.
Three. We got three, our
team. All right. All fun aside, you know, the purpose of putting together this quiz was to come up with a fun way to look at, you know, the inventory of what is the water infrastructure at the St. Mark facility. And I'm hoping that you're feeling somewhat enlightened by the mind-boggling numbers of sinks faucets, categories, what's hooked up to sewer, what isn't, etc. So any questions about the infrastructure? No. But we'll be talking more about that and some of the issues that are involved in that as we go forward. So that,
okay, so I want to give a big thank you.
Getting us here today, and I just again would say we just love talking to folks. We're happy to put together tours. If you haven't been to our Wet Science Center downtown at the Lot facility, it's free. We have different free programs every Saturday for the community. Some are targeted at kids, some are more fun for adults, and that's where we met Margie. She came to a history of toilet session we put on with the fascinating history of toilets over the ages. So we just love to talk about these topics.
Before everybody breaks up, I do have a favor to ask, which is between here and Sunday, we're doing the third presentation after church services on Sunday. So I would ask you to please keep mum about the answers to the quiz.